From the creators of the hit kids podcast Who Smarted and Netflix's Brainchild comes the adventurous world of mysteries about true histories, affectionately known as math.
Every episode follows Max and Molly. I gotta say, love the name Max. That's my puppy dog's name. Who have just recruited into a secret order of problem solvers on an adventure through time packed with puzzles, hidden equations, history, and laughs. It actually makes learning pretty cool.
Yeah. Now, I listened to this with my son, and it was so fun to listen to. I loved how modern it was with a cool aunt that they really dug, and like they dealt with bullies. My son also enjoyed all the math involved. Like, he thought it was really cool.
Well, and I have to say, I love anything that brings learning and fun together for kids. I really, really wish that something like this was around for my teens when they were younger. We would have absolutely devoured this on our car trips. It would have been amazing. It's perfect for kids ages 6 and up, and new episodes drop every Thursday.
So tune in to Mysteries About True Histories with your kids. You can follow and listen on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your pods. Welcome to the No Guilt Mom Podcast. I am your host, Joanne Crone, joined here by my co-host, Bree Tucker.
Whoop, whoop. How you guys doing? You know, it's funny. I noticed that I didn't get organized.
Oh, yeah?
Your organized host.
Oh, your organized host.
Or co-host, sorry. I think it's because we've talked about this before. I don't see myself as very organized.
Mm-hmm.
And I need help with that, which is why I was so excited for our person today. I'm just hopping right into this.
You're hopping right into
it. I'm hopping right into talking about Lisa.
Yeah. If you feel disorganized as well, our guest, Lisa Woodruff, she has some tips.
She had some great tips.
Including the binders. All the binders. Well, I always think of like Mitt Romney with the like binders full of women when I think of binders. And it's not this. It's not that. Do you remember that comment?
Wow, that's a dark turn.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Lisa Woodruff is not like that at all. But when I think of binders, that is to say, okay, here's a happier binder reference.
Yeah.
No, here's a happier one.
Okay.
Leslie Knope from Parks and Rec.
Yes, I like
that. All about
one.
The binders. That is more Lisa Woodruff.
You know, I do see Lisa's enthusiasm in Leslie Knope, or Leslie Knope has Lisa's enthusiasm. And my big thing that I loved about Lisa was like, okay, first of all, sometimes I get a little bit of like, once people start talking about organizing.
Yeah.
But she actually has legit things that work.
She does.
That, like, I look around, like, as soon as we were done with our interview, I looked around my room and had these piles of paper, and they were gone. They were gone within, like, 2 or 3 days of our podcast interview.
That's amazing.
Yeah, she did some amazing stuff.
Her stuff works. So she's the founder of Organized 365 and author of several books, including her newest book, The Paper Solution. She is a nationally known podcast host, professional organizer, lifestyle expert, and author. Organized 365 empowers individuals to learn the functional skills of home and paper organization so that they have time to pursue their passions and share their innate talents with the world. And we hope you enjoy our conversation with Lisa. We are counting down the days over here for the Happy Mom Summit.
Woo-hoo!
Happening February 28th. Now, we're talking about it a lot because this is going to be such an amazing, amazing week for you. And we're talking about it even before you can sign up for the summit, Brie.
Can I be like, it's going to be huge.
It's going to be huge. Huge.
Huge.
You're going to learn how to yell less while raising respectful and responsible kids, as well as prioritize your own self-care without feeling guilty about it, which is the big, big thing. And we have some organization strategies in there as well to help you run your life a little easier.
Yeah, we're talking about like real easy to implement strategies that are going to help you with communication, relationships, organization, understanding the why behind behaviors. So, so many different things. It's going to be phenomenal.
It is. And to get all the info about it, you need to be on our mailing list. The link is in the show notes. And now on with the show.
You want mom life to be easier. That's our goal too. Our mission is to raise more self-sufficient and independent kids. And we're going to have fun doing it. We're going to help you delegate and step back. Each episode, we'll tackle strategies for positive discipline, making our kids more responsible, and making our lives better in the process. Welcome to the No Guilt Mom Podcast.
Mm-hmm. Welcome to the podcast, Lisa. We were just talking. I've been following you around the blogosphere for a very, very long time, and I'm so honored that you are here on the No Guilt Mom podcast. So welcome.
Brie and Joanne, thank you so much for having me.
We are going to talk all about paper today, which I know it's like a huge problem in my house. We have a kitchen counter that is just piled high and no clue what to do with all the things.
Oh, don't even get me started in my house. Like, I will start cleaning up and it'll be pretty for like a day, and then the piles start again. And they're little piles here. Oh, that pile's too tall. Let's do this little pile over here.
Yeah.
It's I can't even tell you how much money I lose in my bedroom, because like somebody will give me a check or a gift card and it just ends up in a pile somewhere. And I find it literally a year later.
Yeah.
It's sad.
So it's sad. Lisa, in your book, The Paper Solution, which is fantastic, you describe your kind of journey with paper and cleaning out your parents' house. Can you tell us a little bit about how you got started organizing?
Yeah, I would say there are two different stories about how I got started in organizing paper. The first one was exactly what you guys are talking about. I had been an organized person and I was just fine. And even baby number one, I was fine. And then I had two kids under two that one with severe medical issues. They both had adoption paperwork. I was working from home in direct sales. I was trying to pretend to be this superhuman homemaker person, like wife from the 50s. And I just broke. I literally broke. And it was the paper that broke me. It was the piles of paper and bills. And like you said, Brie, like I've worked with clients who don't cash their checks because you can't find them. And at that time, everything was checks because this was 2001. And I did have this little basket that if money came in or checks came in, they went in this tiny basket because everything else was like, whatever. Mm-hmm. When I was going to get to it, my bills were being paid late. We had the money. I couldn't find the bills. I couldn't get paid on time. We were more paper-based then than we are now, but it does not matter. Paper gets you when life starts moving faster than you can keep up with life. And then your paper management systems fall apart. So that was the first time.
Yes.
I was a hot mess. That's when I created the Sunday basket. And then the second time was about 10 years later, after my parents had gotten divorced and my father had gotten sick. So my sister and I found ourselves as power of healthcare and then power of attorney and then settling an estate and selling our family home. And I was in the worst possible time in my life when that happened. We had no money, mounting debt, more health issues with our kids. The whole world was in a recession. I was trying to go back to work. Like just, I had no time. I had no bandwidth. I had no resources left. And I was like, there has got to be an easier way to go through these life stages. When you have children, you have to reorient your organizing. When you lose a spouse or someone significant that you are the caretaker of becomes sick, like you have to reorient your organization. And in these times, it's heavily paper oriented. You don't need paper all the time, but when you need it, you need it. And you need it to be organized. And if it's not organized, then it causes you even more stress and usually a very emotional time. And it really complicates communication with really expensive people like doctors and lawyers and realtors. And like you're costing yourself money when you don't have the papers organized. And I'm sorry, but like your parents are going to pass, like you're going to have siblings that you have to take care of or aunts or uncles or children's or spouses, like you are going to be power of healthcare and power of attorney for someone in your life. Mm-hmm. And it is going to happen at the least convenient time. You could try to prepare, like you can get your paper organized enough so that when you need it, you have it. And when the inevitable happens, whoever is caring for you, you're not adding disorganization to an already stressful emotional time because their regular life doesn't stop. Like your regular bills, your regular job, your regular obligations don't stop when you add children to your life or you have an unexpected event in your family.
And I think like so many of us are overwhelmed by paper too. Mm-hmm. I mean, like I could tell you, I've had a pile of paper on my desk for the last month that I'm refusing to deal with. And it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And I don't want to do it.
And then you get anxious when you look at it. It's like this little monster just staring you down.
And you said something that you're like, okay, life gets you and you just can't keep up. And like, I totally feel that because it seems like paper, it's coming at us from both angles. Like the physical stuff, but then the digital realm as well gets you. And it's just like, I just need help.
Well, and I think when you're talking about that paper pile, And Bree, you're like, and it's a monster. It's like staring at you.
It is. It growls once in a while. I swear I hear growls in the middle of the night.
Well, and the growls are like, what opportunities are you missing? What ball are you dropping? Yeah. Where are you not meeting your own or someone else's expectation? And often there are not really actionable things to do in that pile because like you're living your life, like you're being excellent and you are doing what needs to be done. Paper piles often represent future hopes and dreams.
Yeah.
Improvements that you want to make that are important, but not urgent. And so where does that kind of paper stay? And it usually is paper because it's an idea you wrote down or an article you tore out of some magazine or something you printed off the internet, because maybe someday that may be something you want to do for your professional life or your personal life.
Yeah.
And then, so you're looking at the pile and you go, okay, I know I had this great idea, but I have no system for making sure that I check that again in the future so that when the opportunity is right, I even know where I put that thing. It's not really your actionable todays.
Yeah. And I think like that really bothers me as a writer too, because I hear like all these podcast interviews and people are like, I have this binder system and I write all my ideas and all of my data and all my sources down. And I'm like, I can't even compete. I can't even start, because like, how do you do that? How do you wrap your head around organizing that paper? And also like you talk about these ideas that you have, you want to save them for later. You don't know if you can let go of them. How do you know what you can let go of and what you need to keep? Because that I struggle with that.
Hey, all, it is Joanne
and Bree here.
And we want to tell you about a podcast that you should check out. It's called Understood Explained. This season of the show is hosted by teacher and special education expert Juliana Uturbe, and it's all about how to navigate individual education plans, also known as IEPs.
And in this latest season of Understood Explained, it covers topics like how to tell if your child needs an IEP, and it busts common myths about special education. We actually just listened to the episode, IEPs, Does My Child Need an IEP? And here is what we loved about it.
I loved that it was so digestible. Like, it was such a short episode, and all of the topics, which could be really confusing to parents, were easily explained.
And I loved how they gave great concrete examples, because you know how much I love me a good example. They explained what kind of services and supports you could actually see on a child's IEP or individual education plan. And they explained those acronyms. That nothing drives me more crazy than when there's acronyms and I don't get it. I don't know what it stands for. They took the time to explain everything in so much detail and to cover concerns that a lot of families have about special ed services.
To listen to Understood Explains, search for Understood Explains in your podcast app. That's Understood Explains, or just click on the link in our show notes.
This podcast is sponsored by Active Skin Repair, a skin health company helping people heal with natural, non-toxic, medical-grade ingredients.
So, Brie, I remember this one time I was in a bike race around Tucson, and I wasn't paying attention. We were riding down 4th Avenue, and there's railroad tracks, like streetcar tracks, and my bike's tire like went and wedged in to the railroad tracks,
no!
And I totally fell down and just like skinned my hands, everything. Ugh. I had nothing with me, nothing at all. And it's that times where you want a first aid product and you have nothing. And Active Skin Repair utilizes a molecule called hypochlorous acid. When applied to the skin, the molecule works by mimicking the natural immune response to cleanse, soothe irritation, reduce inflammation, and support healing. I've used it on my son's mosquito bites, and I wish I would have had it the time I totally scraped up my hands.
Oh, I hear you. Like whenever I go paddleboarding, kayaking, I'm always trying to find something that is like an all-in-one that I can take with me. And Active Skin Repair could be used like that. It can be used to treat cuts, scrapes, burns, sunburns, rashes, and other types of skin damage. It's also safe and non-toxic, which makes it suitable for all skin types, all parts of the body, like eczema, and acne-prone skin, all of that.
With over 500,000 happy customers, thousands of five-star reviews, and ingredients so safe and clean they can be used from the youngest member of the family to the oldest, you now have one simple solution for all of your family's skin health needs. Visit www.activeskinrepair.com to learn more about Active Skin Repair, and to get 20% off your order, use code NOGUILT.
I think if you think of paper the way you think of like your closet. So I would say even if you would disagree with me, the area in our house that we tend to understand how to organize and maintain the best is our closet, whether or not we've done it or not.
My closet is rainbow colored. See? It's organized from red, orange, yellow. Yeah.
So we can understand closets because we know what size we are and what size we think we are. And then we also know what kind of clothes we like or what phase of life we're in. And like, it's a project you can get doing on a weekend. You can grab some pizza, put on some great movies, move everything in, try it all on. By the end of the weekend, you finish this project. And there's a myriad of people who will help you organize your closet, minimize your closet, rainbow your closet, whatever you want to do. There's a lot of resources. So we understand our closets. Every single other space that we want to organize, well, then I don't know. You know, even kitchens, like, okay, so are you going to cook from scratch? Like, I only do takeouts. So it's really easy to organize that kind of a kitchen. When you get to paper, there are no rules. The only rules are binders or files, but nobody tells you what to do with those. And you could put all of your notes and all of your ideas in binders, but the key to why the closet works and the paper doesn't work is you put things in binders or files and then you never touch it again. But your closet, you just naturally go through it 3 times a year. You just do. You do it in the fall. True. You do it after the holidays. Yeah. And you do it before the beginning of the summer. Even if you don't do the full clean out, you really move things around and think about, what do I need for the season? And so it is the repetitiveness of going back to the closet over and over again and continuing to just double check that we don't have in our paper and our idea systems. So I use binders and I use these boxes that have slash pockets in them. I don't have a lot of them, but on a regular basis, I go through all of my ideas. So I shared with you before we came online, I want to do a TV show. Everyone on the podcast already knows I want to do a TV show. I've wanted to do a TV show since before Organized 365 was a thing 10 years ago. So this TV show idea is 15 years old. I have been saving ideas for this TV show for 15 years. Not a lot of ideas, but I have this slash pocket and it just has note cards in it and has typed things. And every once in a while, I get a wild hair like the other day. And I actually wrote out the script of the first episode, typed it all up, printed it out, put it in that slash pocket. I didn't digitally organize it. And whenever I want to dream and think about the future, I grab that slash pocket. I go through all of the notes. Sometimes I rewrite them. Sometimes I say, oh, that idea, that's old. Like, that's not going to work anymore in today's TV reality. Oh yeah, I have this contact. Oh, maybe I'll reach out to this person again. And I just clean it up and I put it back away. It doesn't mean that I have to do it today, but I'm able to capture all of those ideas and keep them. And then whenever I want to be creative, I can.
So what I'm hearing is you have like one binder just for the TV show.
No, it's only just one slash pocket.
Just a slash pocket.
What, can you tell us what a slash pocket is? Because I'm sitting here going, I have
yes.
And you're holding up one of those binder organizers with like that you like
it's
insert
a divider that you put in a binder that has a pocket.
Yeah, it's a binder insert.
Yeah.
Is sealed on 2.5 sides and has a slash down the middle so that you could put in note cards, printed out emails, post-it notes. It doesn't matter what size the piece of paper you have, and you could see through these pockets. So you could kind of see the notes inside. It's not just one color like a file folder would be.
Now I hear binder and like, I'm thinking, oh my gosh, like how many binders do you have?
Maybe 10.
That's not overwhelming.
So I have 4 household binders that I suggest everybody have. I have a binder for each of my kids. Yeah. And then I have probably more than that for work, and our binders are a certain color. So I probably have 4 financial binders for my office. 2 project binders of things that we do every single year, and then a personnel binder and an idea binder that goes back 20 years, just like any personality tests I've taken, any coach I've ever worked with, any dream board I've ever made are all in this one pink binder.
Oh, wow. That must be a big pink binder.
They're all 2 inches. Oh, wow. And so it's the culling of it. So as I go through, like that pink binder, I usually go through just once a year. And when I go through it, I'm like, oh yeah, I don't need this anymore. Mm-hmm. I could just write down this information. So it's like your closet. You're constantly taking out as you're putting in. You're not just saving everything you've ever learned into a million binders.
See, that would be me. I would like be like, okay, I filed it. I'm good.
Well, that's the thing that like puts me off.
They grow.
It's what puts me off about organization is this idea that you need a binder and then the binder gets put away and you don't ever use it again. And I'm like, I'm not going to do that. What use do I have? But I love this idea about calling it and only having like, I mean, 10 binders sounds very manageable, especially when you think about how much paper and stuff people can accumulate. My dad in particular is one of those must save everything, don't know when I'll need it next kind of people. They have the huge metal filing cabinet with the files, and then some things aren't even filed. They have like huge like printer paper boxes in their closet of like just papers and photos and pictures that they will not get rid of. And so I get really scared and I go almost the other way. Yeah. I throw everything away and I get rid of it.
And that's okay. You can throw everything. Like you are going to need some paper though. Like in America, we have to have birth certificates and social security cards yeah. and your tax recommendation. Like there are some things that you just have to keep and you do. Mm-hmm. You can digitize it. A lot of people will say to me then, well, okay, I just digitize everything. And you can digitize a lot, but I want to specifically, Joanne, talk about your parents. If your parents did mm-hmm. digitize all of that.
They're never going to, well, first correct. Of all, but yeah.
But first of all, if they did, they probably would digitize all of it. They probably wouldn't
oh, yeah. my dad,
organize it first. So that what good is
my
that?
My dad was a computer science teacher at my high school. And so he's all about the digitizing and that's his future plans for everything. It doesn't happen.
So if he does it though, let's say he had digitized everything 5 years ago. Uh-huh. Is however he digitized it still relevant today? But more importantly, will it still be relevant 5, 10, 15 years from now when you need that paper? Whereas if you put it in a binder, I know it's not sexy. I know it's not digital, blah, blah, blah in the cloud, but it is really practical. It's a 2-inch binder. All of your finances will fit in there. Everything you need to settle the estate, everything you need for healthcare fits in 1 2-inch binder. God forbid, you know, my mother-in-law has broken her hip. Then you just grab the binder. You go to the ER. She gets checked in. They ask you questions. They're all right there in the binder. It's so easy for communication when you have paper and you're not, where's her password? Grab the computer, download the thing. Where's the microchip? Does this computer even turn on anymore? What was the password? It does not help in an emergency situation. That's when you need these binders. It's for communication. It's not necessarily for productivity. When you're looking at your filing cabinet.
That's a really good point. Being it for communication instead of productivity, because I think that's how I viewed organization before, to be like more productive so I can find things when I need them. But really it's making sure other people can find things when they need them for you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's like it's a light bulb moment. It's like organization, not so bad. I push hard against it sometimes. But
the other thing I would say, you guys are in the South. So I'm thinking more California, Texas are really going to hear this message louder than anyone else. It's also for evacuation reasons. Like the reason I had been creating all kinds of filing cabinet systems up until 2017. And when the multiple hurricanes and the fires in California happened, and I had our audience emailing me and asking me what to take with them when they evacuated, I said, just get out. And I was like, that cannot be my answer. If you're going to organize with me and then you have an emergency situation where you need to evacuate your home, you should be able to take all of your important records. And so we created these physical binders. And then in 2018, when people were evacuating, they were emailing me, the pets and the children and the Sunday basket and the binders are in the car and we're leaving. And some of them did lose their houses or their neighbors lost their houses. And they were able to get everything to the insurance company and replaced much quicker because they had all of their documentation with them. And then they were able to go back into their communities and help other people rebuild and refigure out their lives without their paper systems. It really is, you know, organizing your paper is great for ideas. Like we want to do that, but it really is an insurance policy and it's a gift that you're going to give to yourself and others when emergencies happen. And emergencies happen.
Yeah. And they do happen. And like, I got chills up and down my arms when you were telling me that story. And I'm now realizing the importance of organization. And I kind of want to make myself some binders now because they seem very important to have.
Can you tell us more? Like you talked about how you always recommend that there be four house binders. What are those four house binders? And how do you make sure, like, I'm still hearing this and going like, I'm still going to throw everything in that stupid binder. And then like, so the paper monster is going to move from piles on my counter into piles in the binder, I think.
And it might. So I'm not a perfectionist. I'm a woman of excellence. So if you can get it to 80%, it's good enough for me. So there are four binders. And what I found when you're creating these binders is we so often try to solve our paper problem into a paper binder. And there are actually three different places you're going to find the information that go in your binders. About 30% is going to be physical paper. 30% will be online or in your email. And 40% of what you need to put in your binder is actually in your brain.
Oh, wow.
So if you don't write it down, then no one will ever know. And that's why our binders actually come with workbooks in them where we guide you through all the information you would need. So the first two that I created, the first one was medical. And, you know, we have a cardiac ICU nurse that help us make the medical one. It's and everything you would need to be a caregiver. So medications, your medical history, past diagnoses, your immunization record, all of that stuff is in the medical binder. Mm-hmm. One medical binder will actually work for your entire family if there are no medical issues. But then once there's like a cancer diagnosis or something like that, you need your own medical binder. And just like you said, Bree, when you are in the thick of it, getting a medical diagnosis, just put it all in the binder. And then once a year, though, you have to go through that binder, look at every single piece of paper, reorganize it, put it in real nice. But the slash pockets we use, you can actually just shove paper in the binder without three-hole punching it as you go. The second one is that I mentioned is our financial binder. And that doesn't do like your daily, monthly bill paying. It really is your future financial picture. So it's all of your insurances, your 401ks, your life insurance, anything related to your cars, pretty much everything that you would need to settle an estate for someone from their finances, your beneficiaries, all of that. If you have a celebration of life ideas, those are all in there.
If you like this show, there's a decent chance you'll also enjoy the Shameless Mom Academy. Hi, I'm Sarah Dean, the founder and host of the Shameless Mom Academy. The Shameless Mom Academy is a podcast for moms that centers moms more than it centers your kids. I'm not going to teach you how to make baby food or how to make your 3-year-old or 13-year-old stop having tantrums. Instead, I'm going to bring you back to yourself. For the last 20 years, I've been helping moms through growth and transformation. Inside the Shameless Mom Academy, I help you identify who you are and who you are becoming. Look, motherhood is hard. It brought me to my knees many times and sometimes still does. Returning to who I am and who I am becoming allows me to decide how to show up in all those sticky motherhood moments, but also in all my other relationships and in all the ways I show up in my various communities. So come check out the Shameless Mom Academy wherever you listen to podcasts. I'm willing to bet you'll leave feeling a little inspired and maybe even completely fired up. And you'll probably laugh a few times because I promise we never take ourselves too seriously over here. With 700 episodes to choose from, you're likely going to find something that sparks and speaks to you inside the Shameless Mom Academy.
Hello, you sentient ball of stardust. My name is Casey Davis. I'm a therapist and I'm an author of the book, How to Keep House While Drowning, where I talk about ways to make it a little bit easier to take care of yourself when you're overwhelmed, stressed, have mental health issues, physical health issues, or maybe you're just in a hard season of life. Maybe you're looking for a place that you can come and listen to some practical advice. This is a podcast for all of the self-help rejects. We're going to talk about skills for survival and self-kindness. And I'm going to leave the pop psychology at the door. I promise not to tell you to meditate or to journal. We're just going to give you some really insightful conversations with hopefully some practical advice. So I don't believe you need to pick yourself up by the bootstraps. I don't want you to just try harder, and I don't believe that laziness exists. So join me over on Struggle Care, where we can find compassionate solutions that help us function a little bit better.
The third one is for your home, your physical dwelling that you live in, and that is your household reference binder. This is everything your realtor is going to want to know when they list your house and everything the new homeowner is going to want to know when they buy it. So how much was it when you bought it? What about property taxes? What about the shed or any improvements that you've made? The paint colors, inside, outside, the electronics that go along with the house, that stay with the house, all of that goes in there. I do not keep manuals.
Yeah, I didn't think about that either.
I got to say that. I would not have thought about paint colors. And now that you say that, that's a big deal. Number one question.
Important.
Right?
Yeah.
Number one question people ask when they're in a house, what color is that wall?
Right. Because it's like, oh, it's white. Yep. That's not white. It's like,
nope.
But even for yourself, like, I mean,
yes,
stuff's happened on walls, everything happens, yep, and you need to know this too.
The things you're talking about, wow, I definitely need someone to guide me through this because I would have never thought about that. And as soon as you said it, I'm like, well, of course. Yeah. Sorry, I totally interrupted on that one.
I use that binder monthly because like, I don't keep operations manuals for any of our appliances. I rip off the front page and I put it in the binder, which tells me the model number. And then I put the receipt in there as well. That's all you need. And all I need to know is what is the model number and how old is it? Because if I know how old it is, then I'll just replace it.
Yeah, and you can also find that online. You can find any manual online.
Because I throw out all those manuals because I'm like, it's all online. Oh. But you're right. You need to know the model number when you got it.
See, okay, so this is interesting about us because again, like we both know. So like we know about the two of us that I keep everything and she throws out everything.
But that's funny because that monster is also, I have an accordion file in my closet that is full of manuals because every time I get anything, I just stuff the manual in there. And that file is busting open because you can't have 25 manuals in there of like every blender and food processor and fridge.
Yeah, you can microwave. Slash it down by just tearing off.
I know that is so brilliant, yeah. Lisa.
When
I
have just... you ever referenced anything in there, Brie?
Never.
If it's right. broken, and I here's the thing, online. I tried. So this is hysterical. I was like, I'm going to fix the washing machine. So I read the manual. I went online. I figured out it could be one of three problems. All the parts were like $40 or less. And then right before I ordered the parts, this is the good part. I stopped myself and just called I went and looked at the binder, but I was about to order these three parts, which was going to make me take my entire washing machine apart. I'm mechanical-ish, but like, I'm not. And I'm like, what am I doing? I don't have time for this. And now I'm going to have a taken apart washing machine. So I went to the binder. I looked to see how old the washing machine was. It was 8 years old. And my rep had told me at 7 years old, like they're basically not meant to last more than that. We went to the store, I bought a new washing machine. So I really only need to know how old it is and what the model number is for whoever is going to fix it. Cause I clearly am not going to be the one fixing it.
But that is brilliant.
And you don't want to spend time fixing it either when you know that it's only supposed to last for that long.
Right.
I had a very
which
similar.
Which is ridiculous, but that's a whole nother.
I had a similar thing happen with my dishwasher. And thankfully the appliance company I called, they're like, wait, how old is it? And they're like, it's meant to break right now. You need a new one.
That's a whole nother topic. And then so those three binders are really for everyone. Uh-huh. I don't know how you are an adult without those three binders. We actually take mini versions of those three binders and we put it in one binder for 18 to 25 year olds. So we call it a launch bundle. Uh-oh. It's a little bit of medical. It has renting instead of owning in it. It has a little bit of financial. It teaches you budgeting. So it's how you learn adulting.
Oh my gosh.
We have
that's amazing.
Multiple universities looking to put that in as a freshman seminar into their university.
Yeah.
Because it's literally all the papers you need as an adult. And then the fourth binder, it's kind of optional, but it is how you run your household. And it is great in your 20s, 30s, 40s. It's for pets, vacations, holidays, celebrations, birthdays, you know, how to plan a dinner party, all that kind of stuff. Cooking, cleaning,
all the stuff I need. Mm-hmm. Okay. Four binders. I could do this. I could totally do this.
Yes.
I'm going to get this started and hopefully I can report back to you and tell you I made some binders.
Okay. Yes. So I have a question for you. It's a new year. It's 2022. Mm-hmm. What is one thing that we can start off this year to move towards this whole being more organized, more decluttered? What is one thing that I could probably do this weekend or tomorrow or whatever?
I would say listen to the Organized 365 podcast. Like if you like this conversation at all, because I think about I'm a teacher by trade and I have figured out how do I help you shift your mindset from seeing your house as a place that, you know, we walk into our houses and we really become children. And we're like, I don't want to do the dishes, but we own the house. So we have to do the dishes. And we're always trying to figure out how to do less work so we can go out and play like we were as a little kid getting up. And so the one thing I would say is we don't have good models and examples for how to truly organize. We do for decluttering and increasing productivity. But after you declutter and before you increase productivity, you have to learn the skill of organizing, which 86% of Americans believe is a learnable skill. And I agree. Where do you learn it? And part of learning it is not how to fold your clothes or how many of something you should have. It's understanding how you use your space and why would you put your paper and binders to begin with? Mm-hmm. Like at the beginning of this podcast, you probably never thought about settling an estate or all the papers you would need in order to sell your home. And then it could all fit in a 2-inch binders. And now you're going, well, when would I have the time to do that? Because that seems manageable, but it's going to be a chunk of time. How can I find that chunk of time? That is what I teach people to do, to look at their space and their things differently, understand the process of organization, and then start. Like you may say, you know what? It's been a while since I cleaned out my closet. Put on a podcast, clean out your closet. Realize you have success there. And then what is the next thing you want to organize? And then I can guide you through doing that through the podcast or our courses that we have.
I love that. So take one thing, find success, and then come listen to you for more organization. Lisa, it has been so wonderful having you on the podcast and getting to meet you. And thank you so much for being on.
Thank you.
Lisa really inspired me about the binders, especially for like medical stuff.
I know. I hadn't thought of that.
I hadn't thought of that either. And it is needed. Like knowing that you could just be like, okay, like something is in the closet, especially
like I have ulcerative colitis. And so having all of that information in one place would be really, really helpful if anything ever happened where my husband could just grab the binder and be like, here you go.
You know, the other thing too that she said along that same line that just stuck with me was the whole grab and goes. Mm-hmm. Like when you have something going on, like natural disaster, whatever, and you've got to go fast, if you know you can grab the important papers right then and there, mm-hmm. and just like five binders, you can handle that.
Yeah.
Five, like, because that's, well, no, four binders. She has four binders. Grab those four and get on out. Like, you're good to go.
Yeah. I don't have anything like that set up, but I am going to after this interview. The only grab and go I have, well, I mean, my kids can walk on their own. I would probably, my cat, put my cat in a little carry.
Well, yes, of course, you'll take the living souls. Yes. But I'm talking about the non-living things that you're like, oh, I would never think to go in. I mean, I do have my stuff in a, I have it in an accordion file, but a binder would be way easier. And there's also the fact that the accordion file makes sense in Bree's brain. Doesn't mean anybody else knows how to find a thing in there, but Bree knows where it is.
But we put a link to all of Lisa's stuff in the show notes. So go check it out. And until next time, remember, the best mom's a happy mom. Take care of you. We'll talk to you later.
Thanks for stopping by.
Hello, you sentient ball of stardust. My name is Casey Davis. I'm a therapist, and I'm an author of the book, How to Keep House While Drowning, where I talk about ways to make it a little bit easier to take care of yourself when you're overwhelmed, stressed, have mental health issues, physical health issues, or maybe you're just in a hard season of life. Maybe you're looking for a place that you can come and listen to some practical advice. This is a podcast for all of the self-help rejects. We're going to talk about skills for survival and self-kindness. And I'm going to leave the pop psychology at the door. I promise not to tell you to meditate or to journal. We're just going to give you some really insightful conversations with hopefully some practical advice. So I don't believe you need to pick yourself up by the bootstraps. I don't want you to just try harder, and I don't believe that laziness exists. So join me over on Struggle Care, where we can find compassionate solutions that help us function a little bit better.